So many of them chose to pay with silver rather than to make contributions of boats. This actually makes good sense, and more recent demographic studies looking at the size of the various cities and the populations of the small islands and the cities of the Aegean, many of these studies have come to the conclusion that most of the states were too small to be able to support a shipbuilding industry. So for a small island with a community of perhaps only a couple of hundred men, it made good sense. Instead of spending a great deal of money to employ shipwrights, to have ship sheds, to import the tackle that was used, the ropes that were used, and to have your men going off for yearly service in this navy, instead of doing all that, which you couldn't really afford to do, you simply collected tax and paid it to the Athenians as tribute. So it may not be that we have to imagine the Athenians here devilishly devising a scheme for the enslavement of the Greeks, but rather a system which was mutually beneficial to both sides. It certainly was beneficial to the Athenians. For them, of course, it meant that every year they were required to build ships, to maintain an arsenal down at the Piraeus, where every year new triremes were being built or old triremes were being brought back to be refitted, and yet this entire industry was being essentially paid for by the allied states, not by the Athenians themselves. So without any capital invested by the Athenians, if you will, they inherit a thriving ship industry, thanks to the fleet of the Delian League. Now, this is actually very important to note because the effect of this was to increase the wealth of Athens, to turn Athens into a kind of an emporium of the 5th century. The volume of business clearly increased. If there was a fleet being built here, then there were traders coming in bringing goods that might be needed for that fleet. And in fact, we can even attest in Athens at this time the beginning of a banking industry, the first loans of which are examples of bottomry, that is to say, maritime loans. So the central position of Athens as the heart of this naval empire was made possible by Athens as a trade emporium, and it contributed then also to the development of Athens as a trade emporium. And it is around this time that we find other Greeks moving to Athens, in fact, to take up residency. Probably the best-known example of this, the speechwriter Lysias was the son of a man called Cephalus, who had been invited to Athens by Pericles. A foreigner, he did not achieve Athenian citizenship. It's fairly clear that the reason he was invited to Athens is because he was a wealthy man who could set up a manufacturing industry there. He was an arms dealer. So the position of Athens as the centre of empire, as a military power or a naval power, and as the trading emporium, these really go hand in hand in the development of Athenian power during the 5th century. There were other institutions that also contributed directly to the transformation, not just of the Delian League, but of Athens, from simply one state among many in Greece to being the driving force of Greek culture and the central power in the Greek world at this time. One of these institutions was that of the 700 magistracies. These magistracies were sent out every year from Athens to collect tribute around the Aegean. These were not professional bureaucrats. They were not a public service or a civil service. These were Athenian citizens, men of the Athenian democracy, who were now finding, if you will, employment and service, not only on behalf of the democracy, but in a sense, on behalf of the empire as well. The second institution which contributed to this enormous growth of Athenian power at the time is that of the fleet. We have already seen, of course, that the fleet was maintained thanks to the contributions of the allies. But once again, if we ask who served in the fleet, the answer is Athenian men, citizens of the Athenian democracy. Now, think for a moment, if you will, of the impact that this must have had on the citizen body. Every year, hundreds of men, if not thousands of men, from the citizen body of Athens are finding service on behalf of the democracy, either as magistrates traveling around the Aegean or as the sailors of the fleet and the soldiers of the garrisons going out around the Aegean. What we're finding, in fact, is that as a result of these institutions, there is a kind of simple equation of Athenian power developing in the 5th century. And that equation is quite simply this.